Magtagubin, hello, friend, and greetings again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Remember, beloved, the name that God gave to Moses many centuries ago in the book of Exodus, when God had called Moses to go into the land of Egypt and to deliver the children of Israel. Moses said, Lord, who shall I tell them has sent me? And the Lord said to them, Moses said, what is your name? What name shall I tell them who has sent me? Verse 13 of Exodus chapter 3. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? You see, Israel didn't know how to call the Lord, or what to call the Lord. And so God gave his name to Moses. And God said unto Moses, verse 14, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. The eternal God, beloved, is the eternal I am. He is self-existent. That's what it means, beloved. He is the self-existent one. He's not dependent upon anyone else for his strength, his help, his enablement. He is Almighty God. He is the source of life. He is the self-existent one, beloved. And he needs none other. He is the triune, self-existent, holy, righteous God. And therefore, beloved, you and I are to honor him, to exalt him, to magnify him, to lift him up. For this is the root meaning of the word Jehovah. In Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2 we read, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. I am that I am. That is the root meaning of the word Lord. And when it's capitalized in the Old Testament, the word Lord is capitalized. It refers to Jehovah God, Yahweh, the eternal I am, that I am. And thus, beloved, we're told in the Gospel of John that Jesus Christ is the I am. Jesus told the Pharisees before Abraham was, I am. And that's why they hated him, because they said he's making himself equal with God. Beloved, he is God. He is the eternal God. Even as we read in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, remember, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The New Testament reveals the truths of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, but the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And in Hebrews chapter 1 we read, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You see, beloved, Jesus Christ, John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ, we read, is the Word. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, full of grace and truth. Verse 17 of John chapter 1 says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so we see the connection there as to whom the Word is. The Word is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thus we read here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ, the Word, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God made the worlds by Jesus Christ, the Word. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory. Jesus Christ is the revelation of the glory of God and the express image of his person. You see, beloved, that's who Jesus is. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus is the Godhead manifested bodily, we're told in the book of Colossians. Jesus is the revelation of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in physical form, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, speaking of Christ, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels, and notice, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. O beloved, listen. Jesus Christ is God. God the Father called him God. Right there in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is holy. The Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. And that's why we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 that God made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin. You see, beloved, Jesus Christ knew no sin. Though he took upon himself human flesh, though he walked here upon the earth as man, yet he knew no sin. He committed no sin, even though he was tempted of the devil 40 days in the wilderness, as Matthew chapter 4 tells us, tempted in all ways like as we are, we're told in Hebrews, yet without sin. O beloved, Jesus Christ knew no sin. That's why he could die for you. That's why he could die for me. That's why he could take our sin upon himself and be made sin for us. Every vile, wicked, evil, impure, ungodly thing that you or I would ever do was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung upon that old rugged cross suspended between heaven and earth. There the sins of mankind were placed upon him, he who knew no sin. You talk about something terrible. You talk about something awful. You and I cannot begin to imagine and comprehend what it was for the holy God to have sin placed upon him and to be made sin for you and for me. Oh, the awfulness, the terribleness of it all. But Jesus did it because he loves you. God the Father placed his Son in that position because that was the only way that mankind could be delivered. That was the only way the Holy God could make man righteous and pure and clean, was for someone to die in his stead, for someone to die in our place. And that's why the Holy God died there upon that old rugged cross. God the Son died for you. He died for me. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, beloved, that we might be made righteous, that we might be made holy, that we might be cleansed from our sin, that we might be made pure and clean and righteous and acceptable in the sight of the holiness of Almighty God, so that we might be able to boldly enter into his presence through prayer, into the holiest of all, the very presence of the Holy God, to make our requests known unto him. What a privilege! What a wonderful privilege to be a child of God, to be made pure and clean and holy and righteous within our spirit, beloved. That's where we're righteous. That's where we're pure. That's where we're clean. As we will see in our study, as Romans 7 points out, in our flesh dwells no good thing, but in our spirit we're justified. Till next time, goodbye.